Welcome to Refirement Life, the podcast for anyone navigating life transitions or planning to make life transitions to ensure your next years are your best years. Listen in for insightful, generous, and sometimes humorous conversation. It's time to get fired up with Christine Zamuda and Muge Wood, your hosts for this latest episode of Refirement Life.
This one is entitled Perseverance, Humility, and Competition, Lessons from the 2024 Summer Olympics. So, wow. While we've been watching, before we dive into our topic, how about some reflections from last week? I'm here with my favorite, fantabulous co-host, Muge Wood. Muge, how was your week?
Week has been good. Actually, I have been very inspired with the Olympics, so I am looking forward to this episode. In the meantime, I've got my own, achievement plans in motion. So they include things like finalizing my plans to attend U.S. Open at the end of the month, which will be my first time as a very engaged fan at U.S. Open. So I'm looking forward to that. And also just staying in the game of tennis. For me, it requires a lot of mental engagement because I improve very slowly, and it can be frustrating at times. So I appreciate the encouragement from my tennis coach, from my friends. And one thing that stays with me that my coach says often is, focus on your good shots. Instead of dwelling on what you missed, focus on what you made. So I am keeping my head space in that lane. So my goal is to stay in the game and watch the game. And Olympics certainly has been helping me.
Focus on the good shots. I love that. Yeah, it is that motivation when you see something and you're like, that was perfectly played. I can do this. This game is not beyond me.
That's exactly right. I just need to do more of that.
Yes.
Of that.
Yes. Yes,
that's right.
Well, we have a tennis team and our clinics are Wednesdays. And this past Wednesday, we showed up, all of us, and we're trying to play earlier in the morning, which really isn't good for our tennis game. We're trying to beat the heat here in the DC area. And we show up at this last week, it was 8:00, and people just aren't awake. Like this is very much a 9:00, even 9:30 crowd. Anyway, we get on there, we're playing around, and everyone's moving a little bit slow. And I told my one girlfriend, I said, I would love to mic our coach and just, you know, like the NFL does, where you hear those things under his breath, like, oh, there she goes, lead legs, can't get to the ball, lead legs.
That does help. I sometimes get that whisper for myself. And when the coach is behind me, he's like, you know, Muge, you have to move with the ball. Like, mm-hmm. You cannot wait for this ball to come to you. So you can't be like cemented in your position. You got to move with it. I'm like, oh, do I? Or do I just let it go?
Well, you're going to enjoy, I'm sure you're going to pick up a lot of new tips when you go to the U.S. Open. I took in the City Open, which is a local tournament here in D.C., and it was super, super fun. I was able to see Ariana Sablanka play, Victoria Azarenka, you know, both, you know, very high-ranked players. And then we were able to see in the evening Frances Tiafoe take on Rublev. And Frances Tiafoe is a hometown favorite here in Maryland. In fact, like his story is pretty cool. His father worked in the school system. I believe he was a janitor. And, you know, Frances was always hanging around as a kid and someone invited him, hey, take some lessons. And from there he got the bug and just, you know, showed great promise and became this amazing, amazing, amazing player. So everyone was on their feet when he, you know, started to beat Rublev. And it was just a really, really fun match. So I hope you get some good ones when you are there in New York. That's going to be a fantastic experience, I'm sure.
I hope so too. And also, I'm thinking of the merchandise I may be shopping for. So that will also be good memory of the experience, hopefully. And Tiafo is amazing. I got to watch him at the clay court men's championship in Houston at River Oaks. I mean, everything about him is so inspiring. It looks like you had some big names there. Yes. See the battle. Awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, So on to our topic. We've got lots to talk about, and we're going to talk about the Summer Olympics. I'm just amazed by the life lessons as you take in the stories of the athletes, the stories of the family, see them in action, how they handle both winning and defeat with grace. So let's talk first about gymnastics. Gymnastics has been amazing for the U.S. team. The Italians have been really performing really well in gymnastics. And I don't know, like, when you think about gymnastics, were you ever involved in that as a kid, or when's the last time you did a cartwheel? Okay.
Well, I think if our podcast were visual, probably our listeners could see my face and rolling my eyes on the improbability of me doing a cartwheel. So unfortunately, I was not very athletically gifted. So cartwheel was never in my future, even when I was young. So but the idea of being able to do a cartwheel is just incredible. So I always say being fascinated by gymnastics and ice skating. So I have to wait for ice skating for Winter Olympics. The twirl, spin, turn, just looking at it, I'm like, how are you not getting dizzy alone doing this on the floor, much less on a vault, on the beam, the uneven bars? It is incredible. And of course, the big one that we all have been waiting for and hoping for a positive outcome was return of Simone Biles and Team USA. And that was just remarkably inspiring. What did you think, Christine?
Oh, incredible. Incredible. And then when you look back at, you know, her story and all the greatness that she's put into the sport. In fact, I mean, the level of difficulty scores were changed as a result of what she's brought to the events. And of course, we all know that how she overcame what they call the twisties when her mind was a bit separated from what her body could do. And in a sport like gymnastics, I mean, that could mean, you know, very serious injury, even death. And the fact that she came back is just a wonderful story of mental toughness. Also taking care of yourself, taking herself out of that particular competition when she wasn't 100%, and now coming back in bigger, better, like huge triumph. It's been amazing to watch.
It really has been amazing. And there are just so many things that I'm grateful for her. You know, the whole twisties, we were, I know this is not funny. We're like, maybe I have tennis twisties. Like, I am separated from my racket and tracking the ball. So I may have twisties of my own kind. But when you look at Simone Biles, I mean, she is 27 years old, which is not exactly super young for the sport of gymnastics. And what I love the most about her, in addition to just incredible athleticism that she brings, is her focus on mental health and how she has been very transparent about that. She has been very open about how she has benefited from therapy. We saw her integrating some of those practices on the sidelines before a routine. She's meditating, she's doing some breath work, and being able to take that not only to revamp how she showed up and managed her outlook, stress levels. But she also has become a role model for the team, as well as everybody aspiring to perform at that level of athleticism. So, I mean, it's just such a remarkable story. I think we all wanted her to get this level of achievement. I still cannot process how you come back and how you handle that level of pressure. But at the same time, being so graceful and almost casual about it and having fun. going for those next levels of achievement. But I think first and foremost, her transparency, candor on the importance of mental health, I think has been absolutely remarkable.
Yeah. There's a good Netflix documentary too. I think it's just two episodes on her and her, you know, where she came from and, you know, her situation with how she was raised was pretty interesting and challenging. You know, her mom was a drug addict, had four children, they were separated in foster care. Her grandparents were able to, or her grandfather was able to adopt her, remarried, and just, wow. I mean, just amazing story that so many could get hope from, right? I mean, not everything is perfect. Not everything is, hey, you know, everything handed to you. She's really worked hard and the family's worked hard to get her where she is.
Yes, the whole family, I think 14 or 17 people from her family showed up to support her on this very monumental event. I keep coming back to, I think her giving spirit and generosity as well. So she is from Spring, Texas, which is a suburb of Houston. So she was born and raised in Houston. She continues to live here with her husband. And she has her own gym. And this gym obviously is a magnet for all aspiring gymnasts, as we can imagine. But there's also the story of Jordan Chiles on the Team USA, who some people have written off as a promising gymnast during her career. And Simone Biles apparently reached out to her and invited her to come and practice at her gym here in Houston. So Jordan Chiles, as we have seen in the games, really blossomed with that type of confidence and opportunity given to her. And she won a medal recently, I think, on the vault, in addition to contributing to the achievements of Team USA. So I think that there's a lot there, not only for Simone's athleticism, but her character, her giving nature, generosity, rising above circumstances, not only to help herself, but everyone around her. So it is pretty remarkable.
That's awesome. And talk about rising above. How about the height she gets? So there was this graphic and I pulled it because it was just so amazing. So she's 4'8" and they compared the height that she gets to in those jumps to stacking 9 boxes of Wheaties at 9'10" well above Shaq, who's 7.1, and above the basket where you could dunk. So she could literally dunk as a 4.8 person. It's just amazing watching her. It's just like, you know, I don't know that we'll ever see another person like her.
Right. Well, she did accomplish several moves that nobody achieved and may not achieve again. And I think she even patented some of these moves to be attributed to her. The height she achieves is incredible, but then being able to do those rotations, flips, and landing solid is incredible. And also that makes me think she's obviously gifted, and that gift is complemented by immense discipline, motivation, and mental space to, optimize and get the most out of it. But, you know, at the same time, like, how do you know at such a young age what your gift is and be able to have that blossom? I think that is probably an opportunity, but also recognition people need to be on the lookout for, because how do you know you're gifted for swimming, for tennis, for any other sport at a young age so you can work on it? So that also fascinates me, just recognizing that and finding the environment to blossom with all that.
That's amazing. So now we have another story. Experience over youth. Djokovic over Alcaraz. We're back to a little bit of tennis. And wow, I mean, if you look at what happened in Wimbledon, it was quite a grind. And Djokovic coming back with a bad knee, gets all the way to the semifinals, loses to Alcaraz, who is so fun to watch. And then we get to the Olympics.
The first opportunity for Djokovic to win gold. The Olympics. I think the two of them, Djokovic and Alcaraz, they are like Tiger Woods for golf. They make the game super exciting. It is most anticipated, and how they get to the ball and the stamina over hours and hours of back and forth. But when we look at Djokovic and Alcaraz, I mean, I love them both, and probably most people do. Djokovic, I think he is 37 years old. Older age for tennis to play, right, at that level. But yet he's in the game and he doesn't have to. He achieved a lot, many stats, but he's staying in the game, and how he shows the discipline to train and put his body through all that and win is incredible. And then Alcaraz, 21 years old, very young, and the grace he shows under pressure and the athleticism, it is just so fun to watch and to know that he has hopefully many years ahead of him to delight all of us with his game. But, you know, it's interesting because when the two play, you just don't know
right. Which
way it's going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you look at the stats, they're pretty close. So the score, the final scores were... 6-3, 6-7, and 6-4. And then if you look at the key stats, first serve percentage, Djokovic 68%, Alcaraz 64%. Winning shots, pure winners, Djokovic 34, Alcaraz 32. And then unforced errors, Djokovic 28 and Alcaraz 30. So just by, you know, a couple shots on each side. But all those things come to contribute to a close score and also, you know, an ultimate victory by Djokovic, which is interesting. I do like one of his stats that he's been showing, or not stats, but more a quote that he said right after this. And he says, be in the present, forget about the past. Future is going to happen. If you want a better future, you create it. Take the means into your hands. And, you know, he says that as a 7-year-old, he was dreaming of winning Wimbledon and always visualizing that, putting the work in. And so he's, you know, won Wimbledon a few times. And then this, as you mentioned, first Olympic gold, is pretty amazing.
I think the power of visualization is incredible. Another mm-hmm. one I'll call out is the doubles Alcaraz and Nadal played.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Nadal Alcaraz, right? So, that is a very poignant moment, especially for Alcaraz, I think, because they show pictures of when he was a young boy, and there are pictures of him next to Nadal where he's aspiring to be like him. So for them to play doubles as many times as they did is also pretty monumental. So, yeah. Thinking possibilities for yourself, even beyond the reach of anything that has ever happened before, is really uplifting.
Agree. Then we get to our next topic, humility in action. So I pull Katie Ledecky, and Katie Ledecky is one of our hometown favorites. She's from Maryland. We raise a lot of amazing swimmers in this area. We own.
So what is with that? Like, do you have something special going on?
Something's in the water, baby. Something's in the water.
Something big and impressive is in the water. I like that.
Exactly.
By the way, I read a recent statistics about kind of your neighborhood. It says the fittest city in United States. And I'm thinking California, Seattle, Portland, you know, places beautiful outdoors. Mm-hmm. It says Arlington, Virginia. Mm-hmm. That's where people exercise and they are out there. I'm like, wow, that's impressive. I wouldn't have expected that. So there you go.
We have miles and miles of bike lanes and towpaths all around the monuments, and people are always out running, biking. Yeah. And Arlington's a very young city too. So I think, you know, there's a lot of young people flexing and
nice.
Enjoying the outdoors.
So something is in the water and on the trail. So let's hear about Lydia.
Yeah.
Story.
So, you know, she has now become the most winning female athlete of all Olympic sports, let alone swimming. And what strikes me about her is her humility. When she's interviewed by the press, you know, they'll tell her like, oh, well, you know, you've broken another record. And she just looks at them like, oh, okay. You know, she's really thinking about her sport, her game, how she's breathing. And she says that. She says, you know, the press has a better idea of where I am in all these stats than I do. I'm really focused on the game, focused on my sport of swimming. And she also has, you know, some grace in the way that she handled winning. One of her biggest rivals and someone she's always close to in terms of competition is a swimmer, Titmuss. And when the journalist asked her after the interview, when she beats this woman, she says, well, you know, how is this rivalry? And, you know, what kind of spurred you on to succeed over her? And she said, well, really, it's a friendship. And what I said to her after the race was, thank you for making me better. We bring the best out in each other, which is just, you know, wow, amazing. What a wonderful thing to say. And you could tell that there's a lot of warmth between those two and respect for what they bring to the sport.
I think that's remarkable because it also exemplifies what Olympics and sports are supposed to be about, right? We talk mm-hmm. about sportsmanlike conduct that is obviously observing the rules and being courteous, et cetera, but her showing is far beyond that. And being able to respect, admire, and learn from your opponent and acknowledging that publicly, amazing. So I think in a lot of these stories we are talking about, it is the athletic prowess, but it's also character. Mm-hmm. That helps these individuals shine not only as athletes, but as leaders in their communities at the world stage and inspire us all. I think the importance of character, integrity, it comes into play as well. It's more than just a number of serve shots, distances you swim. It's the whole package of what makes a human incredible.
That's right. That's right. And that's a great observation. And just think of the pressure at that level. And they're still coming forward as just tremendous people, tremendous human beings. So here are three quick stories we're going to touch on. I was really taken with Yaroslava Mahuchik, who is a high jumper. And she recently took the gold. And then just, again, looking at her story. So out of the Ukraine in March 2022, I mean, she's fleeing the invasion to go compete. So she had a three-day tour, you know, getting around a war that's breaking out, you know, gets to Belgrade, and then has to have the a semblance of mind and spirit to compete, where she did win, and then coming back to the Olympics here again, just showing her spirit, talking about, you know, how important this is for her country, and again putting herself in a very different place. For her, it was about, I want to show the Ukrainian spirit. I want to show, you know, my people back home that, you know, we're proud people, and I'm doing this for them. And she just stole my heart. So I wanted to mention her.
That's amazing. And I think, again, when we think about Olympics, you know, they are about uniting people. Mm-hmm. It is incredibly difficult with all the divisions, turmoil, conflict that's going on around us to be unified. So it is great to see that perseverance and rising above circumstances. When I was watching the opening ceremonies and I took the entire 3 hours and watched the whole thing, I just love how they are coming down the Seine River with their own flags. And we saw some of the stories and countries represented, the refugee team, Ukraine team. And just to think what it takes for these individuals to show up, and also be able to compete at that level. It is beyond human ability almost, I think.
Yeah. It's amazing. And speaking of showing up, now this is not from this year, but this was pulled from, I think it's from the 2000 Olympics, but I just learned about this story and I just couldn't believe it. Apparently in the Olympic Games, they will do a wild card draw to encourage participation by developing countries, you know, to kind of try and even the playing field a little bit, and did this for a swimming event. And the wild card that they pulled was from Equatorial Guinea. And the gentleman who was pulled to swim, his name is Eric Musambani, had never swum before. I don't know how this country chose him, but this poor guy had never swam, didn't know how to swim. So he gets this great opportunity to represent his country. He learns in 6 months how to swim. And I guess the circumstances of how he learned were pretty crazy too. Like, he can only swim certain hours in a certain place, and it was only a 25 meter pool. Like, did not have any of the advantages that a lot of other athletes would. And he gets to the event where now it's the qualifier, and he has four other competitors. Do they do a starting gun, or what do they do, to like a whistle or something to let the people start?
Yes, something to give the start, but I don't know where that comes from. But yes, there is a sound-based trigger, yes.
Right, so the starting, I guess they all assemble, and all of the other competitors do a false start, which disqualifies them.
Oh, wow.
So then Eric gets to swim the big length of the pool. He comes in with the slowest time ever, but he completed it and showed up. And I just love this story for so many reasons. I love it that he learned how to swim. There's so much, excitement. Like, it just was kind of meant to be. He was like tapped, almost like he got the golden ticket or something, like a Willy Wonka kind of moment. And then he wins.
Wow. See, yeah. I mean, I think there's so much packed into that story, right? It's beating the odds. It warms your heart. You know, we don't wish ill on anybody, but it's almost like so glad this happened to him.
Yes.
Beating the odds and the hope and not giving up and showing up. I do believe much of life is about showing up. You got to show up to win. You got to show up to have a chance to participate. So what a remarkable story. It's absolutely heartwarming. So as our time winds down, I will call out one more that I am very drawn to, because this one is from Turkey. So this story that created a lot of viral effect and memes is the story of the shooter from Turkey, 51 years old, Yusuf Dikic. He won the silver medal for shooting. And what made it special, in addition to his medal, is how casual he appeared in all of this. And apparently people show up with special clothing, focus sharpening visors, certain headsets. So you are kind of all decked out in gear for this event. So he shows up in jeans and a t-shirt. And he's barely wearing earplugs, like the ones they give you on the plane, nothing too special. And he aces it.
Wow.
And one hand is in his pocket, and with the other hand, he's shooting. And people are like, how is this possible? Like, his opponents are all in this special gear, and they interview him, and he says, I really don't need all that gear. It's actually a distraction, and I keep my hand in my pocket because it helps me with my posture and equilibrium. I'm a natural shooter. I just do it. And on top of that, he also likes cats. So, this guy has become an internet sensation because of how casually he approached it. Now, he didn't just show up at this Olympics to compete. Apparently, he's been competing since 2008 in Summer Olympics, and he has his track record of, you know, winning. He's a retired cop from the Turkish police force. But the story of how casually he showed up made it look like effortless. Mm-hmm. Was the big story, and I love that story, and after he returned to Turkey to much fanfare, he's like, yeah, it's just not that big a deal. I mean, that's my passion, that's my hobby, that's what I do, and off to the next thing. So I think you know, something to be said about maybe approaching it with a degree of you know, casual approach instead mm-hmm. of putting so much pressure and must win attitude and stress. I think for any situation, we feel that when we make it like so high stakes and put the pressure, it can take away from the joy and performance abilities as well.
I wonder too, if this is another example of just age and experience, because he's 51 years old.
Yes,
right?
Yes, 51 years old, and yes.
Yeah, so he's seen a lot of, I mean, seen enough life to be very confident and just thoughtful in his approach. Apparently, like, we could all learn from just putting your hand in your pocket and
yes, I am
doing what you do.
Yeah, I'm not a shooting person, but if I ever take that up, I will remember that tip. Yes. The hand in the pocket apparently helps you with your balance and aim. So, Christine, I mean, mm-hmm. there's just so much ground to cover. I love this period, especially as we approach college football. We need inspiration. So we have been getting this in abundance. So what mm-hmm. are your thoughts on how we can incorporate our Olympics mindset into our lives beyond the Olympics? What are you thinking?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple things. You know, obviously, to root on your team, you could have even more fun if you decorate your face, wear your colors at home, you know.
Especially if the decoration may include some glitter.
Yes. That would be awesome. The other thing I think that would be fun, and I'm starting to see people do this on Instagram, host your own games or take a sport and try it. And we're actually doing this here in Potomac, Maryland. I ordered both a men and women's shot put. And we're going to try it in our backyard. I have the women's, which is 8.88 pounds. And I'm waiting for the men's, which is 16 pounds, which should come today. And we're going to do some spray painting on the lawn in the back, you know, 20 feet, 22 feet, maybe 10 feet, because I don't know how far we're actually going to do this. And I promised my neighbor that I would do it in, not in her direction, but in the other neighbor's direction, just in case it gets.
I knew you would come up with something like this, creative and fun. That's why I thought I'd ask you. I cannot wait to hear how this goes. Maybe a little documentation. We may have to come experience that. And I mean, of all things, how did you come up with this?
My son and I were watching it, and I was like, I think that'd be fun. You see how they put the shot put next to their face, they do three spins, and then they throw it. I think anybody could do that. It looks that way, right? Until we try it. All of a sudden, I've got like three broken windows. And
my thing is just don't hit yourself with the shot put. Like, make sure that thing doesn't come hurling back at you.
I don't think you can. I don't. Yeah, actually, I don't know. Maybe I should look that up. Best way not to.
I recommend
hit
a helmet for the first one. For the first attempt, just to be on the safe side. I don't want to lose my co-host to shot put.
That's right. Okay, well, I'll keep you posted. I'll report on that in our next one. I'm sure we're going to do it by this weekend, because my son's got to go back to school, and this is a really important thing for us to do together.
That is.
The other thing, breakdancing. So we haven't seen a lot of breakdancing yet in the Olympics, and that's supposed to start this weekend. I think it's really easy to throw a piece of cardboard down on the ground and try and do some of those moves, you know?
Yeah, well, yes, I think head above the legs would be important, and yes, that would be inspiring. I'm looking forward to that. Yes.
Yes. So we'll keep our eyes on that. And then I think a sport that we probably don't play enough is badminton. Right? And did you see Snoop Dogg? He did some what commentating on badminton, which was hilarious. He was like, as they're throwing it back and forth, he's got that. No, I got that. You want this? I got this.
I haven't caught that, but I've caught other memorable Snoop moments, including the one he was twinning with Martha Stewart on the stands watching the equestrian event. It has been fun to watch,
Oh
yes.
yeah, he's had the time of his life for sure. And then the last one, hey, have an international potluck. Bring food from around the world, celebrate all of our differences and enjoy some of the traditional cuisine around the world. That's always a fun thing to do. So those are my tips. And keep watching the Olympics. We have, I think, what, 4 more days.
That is awesome. I love them all. I think anytime food is infused into the activity, it makes it better. I'm thinking of my own sort of non-Olympics activities. They are not exactly Olympics caliber, but we finally will want to try our glow-in-the-dark bocce ball set that we got
Ooh.
for Christmas some time ago. So we just want to see how this works at night. The
That'd be
promise is
so
that.
fun.
The promise is that you can see these things. And then, like your son, Christine, my son is going back to college for his senior year as well. So, before he goes, we will have a little fierce and friendly putt-putt tournament at Houston downtown in an air-conditioned space, which is very essential for living conditions in Houston. And eventually, maybe we get a little sand volleyball as well at the courts near us. So we got a mix. We got a mix coming up. I'm looking forward to it.
That is fun. We actually had a family putt-putt game this summer. And I will tell you, as I got through maybe half of the game, I was well behind. So my fun was sabotaging everyone else. I would just hit their balls and I would decide, nope, my husband's not going to win. I'm going to let my kids win.
Well, all of a sudden, especially when I volunteer to keep the score, the scorekeeping may go astray,
There you go.
and a little less detached from reality. And the other thing I do is I blame it on the course. So I'm like, you are just getting lucky on this course. Let's try another one. And I may shine in this one. And that really doesn't happen, but it makes me feel better to think that it's less about them, more about the course.
Yes. Good. It's all good fun. All good fun. Yeah. All right. Well, I so enjoyed spending time with you as always. And for our listeners, always, if you have a moment, post a review, subscribe and follow, and share our podcast with a friend who might enjoy it. And with that, we'll sign off. Until
Till the
next
next time.
time. All right. See you.
Thank you for listening. Our hope is to spark a little joy, inspire, and educate our listeners in ways to live an even more meaningful life. If you have reactions to share from what you've heard, please visit our website, refirement.life, to leave a voice message. You may even be featured in a future episode. To keep in touch, subscribe to our podcast, Refirement Life, using the podcast player of your choice. Always remember, you are never too old to set a new goal or to dream a new dream. Thanks again for joining us on this episode. Until next time.